Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Football Friday. What's happening? How you doing today, Tiki and Tierney? We are ready to roll, and we're coming to you from inside of our Rocket Mortgage studio. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs in real time? Rocket Ken, in case you didn't hear, it is a Football Friday. Hope everybody's doing well. World Series back tonight. Game 3, 1-1. Bueller. Charlie Morton, all sorts of pumped up. TK, how you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you, brother?
Awesome. You know what's funny? We're going to obviously start with the Giants and the Eagles. You know, growing up in New York, the Giants were the team that I never had any emotional connection to, obviously, as a fan of the other team, unfortunately. I never hated the Giants. Never. I never hated, just like I don't hate the Mets, never hated the Giants. Most, I'd say actually more of my friends were Giants fans than fans of the team that I root for. No ill will toward the Giants, but also no emotional investment. So the way I watched the game last night, the prism through which I watched the game, is far different than some of the nut jobs like, you know, Sean Marais, who's going on there with a bag on his head today crying. Tig, I'm going to give you a quick, because you're the Giant in the room, so I want to certainly step out of the way for you, but quickly, a quick non-emotional Giants read on the game.
Go ahead.
The Giants are going to be fine. This was not the year for the Giants to do. I don't care how bad the NFC East is, and it's putrid. Yeah. The Giants were never going to backdoor their way to the champion, to a divisional title. What's going to happen? Too many deficiencies. The Giants, once they make a move at general manager, and you know I've been saying this for a long time, they've got a coach who is now beginning to implement a culture. It's not Joe Judge's fault that Ingram couldn't catch the ball. It's not Daniel Jones' fault that Ingram couldn't, you know, catch the ball. So from a non-emotional point of view, I think the Giants are going to be fine.
Look, the Giants fans who are upset and they're ready to get rid of Evan Ingram and they've been frustrated by his lack of explosion, his lack of health. He's a young kid still. I know he should be getting it by now because he's 3 years in, but that just is what it is. He's just not quite good enough. Will he evolve into something? Who knows? But right now, he's not quite good enough. Or at least he doesn't have the urgency to know when the plays that matter are going to matter. And it's really every play, but you know, in particular when you tip an interception or when you drop a wide open ball that could basically end the game, you're not aware of the importance of the moments that you find yourself in. And they depend on him, let's be honest, because they don't have a ton of great weapons. He's a mismatch, but he just hasn't been able to come through in those critical situations. You know, earlier today I was chatting with friends about this, and here's the reality, BT. They're just not good enough, right? They're just not. They're not. It is what it is. They're not, like, they're never going to be elite this season. We didn't think they were going to be elite this season. It's a new coaching staff. It's a new system. There's a lot of young players. And so I hear the Giants fans and they start screaming and yelling. They're supposed to be good, but they're not going to be good, at least not right now.
Teek, when you generate collectively, as the Giants have over the past three seasons prior to this one, the absolute worst record in the NFL, it's a little more than, well, maybe this coach is kind of swimming a bit. Well, maybe the GM had a singular rough draft. it's all encompassing. Yeah. You don't have a lot of talent. You don't have the right coach. You don't have the right passion. You might not have the right IQ. And you add it all up, and you come up with the fewest amount of wins encompassing a three-year window, which is what the Giants have before this year. So it takes a long time. You know, take any historically bad franchise, whether it's the Browns, whether it's the Knicks, who are still in this ridiculous 20-year malaise, whether it's the team that I root for on the other side of football, they're a mess for the last decade. You don't just come in, click a button, and say, okay, this is how it's going to be done, and yeah. then that's how it goes. It's a process. You've got to see, who can I cut through that maybe didn't flourish in the previous regime, but I see a redeemable, salvageable quality. I'm going to keep this young man. I think he could be an asset, or conversely, nope, doesn't have it, not locked in mentally, not tough enough physically, not smart enough, whatever it might be. This is a year of evaluation, you know, certainly for Daniel Jones in year two. Saquon Barkley ripped up his knee. Shepard's mm-hmm. been banged up a lot. And I trust me, this is not to say, you know what, I'm not an excuse maker, especially for a team that I don't have any emotion invested in. I really, truly think that I view the Giants as objectively as I view the Jacksonville Jaguars. I really believe that. And, you know, their path is very different from the team that won, because the team that won has a recent Super Bowl championship. Granted, they have a different quarterback, so that's an entirely different dynamic, who makes all sorts of mistakes, mm-hmm. but then does these tantalizingly amazing things. His skill set is through the roof. Conversely, what do we make of the Eagles? They should have lost the game. They played terribly until the final 5 minutes.
I'd be more discouraged if I was an Eagles fan than if I was a Giants fan, because think about this, BT. Until the last 6 minutes, they scored 10 points. Now, I know the Giants' defense is good. Like, you got to give credit where credit is due for the New York Giants. Their defense has been playing good football. Mm-hmm. Yes, they make some mistakes, and they made a bunch, you know, in those last 6 minutes. But you could also chalk that up to just great plays by the Philadelphia Eagles, finding the right mismatches that made the difference in the game. But the Giants' defense is good, and so you give them credit. But at the same time, the Philadelphia Eagles and Carson Wentz, who's paid like he's a superstar, just hasn't been good, BT. He's thrown three more interceptions than he threw all season last year, and we're only seven games in. And, you know, I know that, you know, technically they are in the driver's seat of the NFC East at 2-4-1, half a game ahead of the Cowboys, who haven't played yet, obviously. But, you know, technically they're right where they want to be, but they're not. This team is smoke and mirrors with the Philadelphia Eagles. We know that against the better teams in the NFC and really in the NFL, they're going to lose those games. They're not going to have a young team that's not ready to win, just not quite good enough yet to give it away like the Giants did to them. So, I mean, the Eagles, and I look at them and I say, how can they get better? We know how the Giants can get better, right? It's some of those young players just making some plays. Staying healthy. Your offensive line, which is, I mean, as maligned as it gets right now, with Andrew Thomas looking, you know, really bad.
Sound the alarm. You drafted the wrong guy.
He's still a rookie. It's hard after seven games to say, yes, that's true, but God, it just feels like it's going that way.
I'm not saying that he can't morph into a serviceable player. Agreed. I'm not burying him for good, but based on Becton and Wills, I mean, there's other guys that are.
Yes.
I mean, Andrew Thomas looks like a turnstile. He's getting destroyed every week.
Yeah, I don't know if he's confused. I don't know if he's just that. I don't think he's athletically inferior. I mean, he played at Georgia.
He doesn't look that quick, though.
He doesn't.
I thought he was quicker than this.
I agree, BT. Now, maybe it's just that he's thinking too much because he was slated to be the right tackle.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
And obviously, because Nate Solder opted out, he had to go over to left, and, you know, he's put in the hot seat, you know, as a rookie. And interestingly, though, if you're going to be good, like, think about the Dallas Cowboys and mm-hmm. some of those guys that, you know, 3 or 4 years ago that were rookies and slated and jumped right in. They were fine. They were Pro Bowlers right away.
Yep.
You kind of know.
Quentin Nelson.
Yep. You kind of know. And right now we don't know. But my point is, the Giants have issues. And you know that they're young and they're going to get better. And you can see where they're going to improve. I don't see where the Eagles improve. You call on DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson's going to get healthy. And, yeah, he's going to be a difference maker. Yeah, maybe for half a play, half
he's
a quarter.
He's 33.
Exactly. Yeah, he's not DeSean Jackson that was a threat anytime he touched the ball 5 or 6 years ago. It's just not like, so where are they getting better? So as interesting as it sounds, because the Eagles won this game in heroic fashion and are atop the NFC East, I actually am more worried about the Eagles than I am about the Giants, which is crazy to say.
I don't really disagree. I might have a solution, but because I don't think that Andrew Thomas's name will come up the rest of the show, I just wanted to give you this one stat before I get pretty much to join in with what you just said about the state of both the Giants and the Eagles. So let's see. Andrew Thomas played all 55 offensive snaps versus the Eagles after a benching last week. I'm reading this. Jordan, how do you say it? Renan? Is it Renan or
Renan? Yeah, Renan. Yeah.
Okay, it's Renan, right? Yeah. He tweeted this. So obviously late for a team meeting, blah, blah, blah. Finished with a 43.8 pass block win rate.
Ooh.
Now, the average fan's like, well, 43. That sound good. But
that
what?
Means if you drop back 30 times, you're losing 15 of them.
Well, yeah, true.
Right, maybe like 16 of them.
I was going to say a little more. But here's a little more perspective. So on the 43.8% pass block win rate, which is wretched, the league average for offensive tackles is somewhere in the 87% range.
Wow.
He was 43.8.
Wow.
Just to get that out there. Okay. Listen.
That's bad.
That's horrendous. I'm not looking to bury the young man. Mm. I do believe that there are some similarities. You know, it's never a bad time for a little golf analogy. Mm. When you're working on something and you bring it through slow and you're thinking, I'm like, all right, I got to get my hands here. What's it? Got to get the leg. And then you hit the ground first before you hit the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You're not flowing. You're not playing. You're not doing what got you to this point. You're mentally mechanical.
Mm-hmm.
There could be something to that, going from the right side, going to the left side, being a rookie. But the disparity in play is so wide, I'd be very worried if I'm a Giant fan that you may have drafted the wrong guy. Eagles, you know, Teak, this is going to sound outlandish, not a hot take. I'm not trying to generate. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really believe this should be on the table. Trade Carson Wentz at some point.
Mm.
Why not?
I mean,
why not?
The question,
you just yourself said that everything around him, and I don't disagree,
yeah,
is not good.
Yeah.
So what's the quickest? You drafted a quarterback in round two. You theoretically have somebody in place. Now, it'll be a four-year deal because you don't get that fifth-year option for a second rounder. But if you really don't think that you can make the rest of the roster, pardon me, catch up to Carson Wentz while Carson Wentz is still in his absolute prime, maybe you do something that would seem unthinkable for some.
That's interesting. I never even crossed my mind that they would even
That
would think about it. I mean,
you're not
going to
win this way.
Look, they may make the playoffs this way simply because the division is so bad. But you're right; they're not winning this way. They're one and done. You know, maybe they go on a magical run.
No way.
But I just don't see it. They're beat up. Lane Johnson, I love the dude. He's a monster, super athlete, but he's so compromised physically right now. I feel bad for him.
Yep.
He's obviously their right tackle who just keeps going down. You see him, you know, three plays in the game, he's laying on the ground. They're just beat up, and they're young, and they have, you know, players who they didn't expect to be playing, being forced to play because they've had so many injury issues, and it feels good for them right now. They win on a Thursday night. That means they have, you know, an extra 10 days to get ready for next week, and it feels good. But if you actually dissect this Philadelphia Eagles team, there's not a ton to feel good about except for that last 6 minutes of the game. You scored 10 points against the Giants.
I know.
Right?
I know.
And then, yes, it's home, but it doesn't matter. But still, you scored 10 points against the Giants for the majority of that game. And you
needed a 15-yard penalty late.
That's right.
To help you.
That's right. That's right.
And it was a questionable penalty, I thought. Well, maybe there's more of a silver lining from what Doug Peterson's watching. Let's hear from the Eagles head coach on his quarterback.
It wasn't you know, maybe on the stat sheet things look good, but there's some throws and there's some decisions I think he would want back. But I tell you what, he's the leader of our team for a reason, and you saw that tonight, leading our team down there to get that the two scores late in the game. But overall, hung in there, played tough again tonight.
Teague, what do you think?
That's all you can say, though. I mean,
no, I know.
He won the game. He played tough. I can't bury him because they won, but God, he just doesn't look like the same guy that we were 3 years ago saying was going to be an MVP.
Teague, once he launched himself into the end zone in L.A., he hasn't been the same guy.
That's right.
Now, they haven't been the same team, to be fair.
True.
And I can't be convenient when I say, well, you know, Sam Darnold's got nothing around him. That's why, you know, there are situations in the NFL where it might not be the sexiest radio conversation, but you've got to incorporate what is absent around said player.
Mm-hmm.
You have to.
Yeah.
Whether it's a lack of vertical weapons, whether it's a lack of time to make the right read from your offensive line, whether it's a defense that, you know, gets gashed and you're always playing from behind, whether it's inept coaches or two or three of all those things I threw out there. They're in a rough spot. I don't want to see him traded, but and I don't mean for this deadline. You don't throw something like that, of that magnitude, so hastily together. This would be an off-season draft, if there's even a combine kind of a thing. What do you think, if they were amenable to this, you know, psychologically, if they could wrap their minds around the prospects of trading him, what could you get for Carson Wentz?
You probably get a second rounder. He's good.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it. You're not getting first rounder for him.
I think you'd get a first rounder
for
Carson
I don't think so.
Yeah,
because
you
he's
would.
If
yeah, you would.
Coming off of previous seasons, maybe. But he seems like he's damaged right now. And so and he should be, because it's not like the system has changed significantly since he got there. So I don't think anyone's going to give up a first rounder for Carson Wentz.
I don't mean the top 10. I mean the team in the bottom of the draft.
Yeah, but they wouldn't want him. They wouldn't need him. So
why not?
It's interesting with quarterbacks. Other positions, you can integrate right in. You know it's going to be a fit. But when you're trading a good player who has been a good player, and you're essentially saying he's going to be our leader, there's something just off about it. Because I'm trying to think of the precedent of that happening. And it working, and there aren't very many
not via trade.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I know.
Aren't very many of them.
No, that's true. But there's also more trade activity now than there's ever been.
True.
You have younger GMs who see the business differently. It's not 1990. No trade, can't trade.
Yeah.
No trade. We can't do a trade. Midseason trade. What is this? Baseball.
Click. I see
guys
that with
trading.
I see that with other positions. No, any at any time, and I think it works, right? And Eke Ngakoue, who was traded, you know, the Baltimore Ravens, as we talked about yesterday. That's a great trade for Baltimore.
Yep.
Right. I wouldn't have.
Who, by the way, was traded to the Vikings.
That's right. So I wouldn't have guessed that would have happened. It's a great trade.
Yeah.
And I think it was smart. It works for everybody. It's a win for everybody. But you don't usually see it with quarterbacks. It's just so rare. Because if you have a viable starter, first of all, you never let them hit free agency, much less trade them away.
Okay. Oh, hey, listen, I'm gonna leave it in the corner of the room and say, I don't want to have to go and pick it up and readdress it at some point. I hope Carson starts balling. I like him. I do. But I'm not going to say that that's a crazy notion based on where they are and based on the way he's playing. And by the way, he's doing this without 75,000 people, you know, jamming down his throat. I mean, you know, full-throated, borderline despondent over his play. If there were fans in the building, the way he's playing this year, the way he ended last year, like it could get to that point. Forget about just from the field of play, where you might have to do something. But we'll see. We shall see. Eagles get the win. Giant fans hang in there. Teague and I both think you have the right coach. Drafted the wrong tackle, but whatever. You just have to upgrade the roster. And we both like Joe. Joe can coach. All right, coming up next here, this is going to be great. Tannehill, right? And King Henry. Can they knock off, or can they even penetrate the seemingly impenetrable steel curtain, the new version? The Steelers and the Titans. This will be awesome. We'll get to that coming up next. Teague and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right. Who likes to get it on? A little football action. DraftKings. You know I do. It's the leader in one-day fantasy sports. By the way, I took the 5 points last night with the G-men. Feeling pretty good about that. Even though they lost the game, I didn't really care. To add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. Now, Here's how you do it. You draft your lineup. You feel the sweat like never before. Every run, pass, every catch means a little more with DraftKings. It's simple. Pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Everybody's always talking smack, whether it's on social media, oh, I can do this guy's job, or, you know, the text chain, the WhatsApp chain with your buddies or at the bar or whatever. Oh, I can do this job better than that scrub who's a GM. Yeah, hop on DraftKings. Give it a shot. Pick a team. Stay under. You got to manage the money as well. And we'll see if you could do it. By the way, got a little UFC 254 coming up this weekend. So be sure to check out DraftKings MMA contest. Here's how you do it. Simple. Download the app. All right. So download the DraftKings app and use my last name, code Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y, for a limited time. New users get a free shot at millions in prizes this week. That's code Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y, to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. Hey, the app is sweet, easy to navigate. I told you about, I don't know, now it's probably about 5 months ago. My good buddy won $17,000 doing this daily stuff. There's money to be had. You just got to be smart. Download the app. Hook it up with my name, Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y. Only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. That's DraftKings.com. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line on this Football Friday here on Tiki and Tierney. It's 1-855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. We'll get to inbounds, out of bounds coming up next segment. Weave in a lot of college football, hour two, third hour. He's hot. How you doing over there, Sharp? You good? Yeah, he's straight. He's still rolling. 7-3 last week. Sharp Tierney will grant you some more winners a little later. You know, the Titans-Steelers game, to me, and I know I said this at least once on the air this week, astounding when I saw the stat that the Steelers are 5-0 for the first time since 1978.
Yeah.
Like, you're almost desensitized to numbers and stats because there's so many of them. If you're on social media enough and you thoroughly, you know, you search for that stuff and you're kind of a stat hound as I am, I love mm-hmm. those numbers for all sports, I think I've seen most of the stuff. That yeah. one stunned me. And here we are, the Steelers and the Titans, and I think you can make the case, take the two biggest injuries, not of the season, because Bosa went down, Saquon mm-hmm. went down, but for Devin Bush to go down, who yeah. is a speed merchant, and for Taylor Lewan to go down, both last week, and now they're playing each other, both undefeated, this is going to be all sorts of nuts. I can't wait for this
yeah,
game.
No, it makes for an interesting offensive scenario for the Tennessee Titans, what they're going to do. Now, they didn't miss Taylor Wan because they clearly will, but they played effective without him last week. And a lot of that's because their run game is so stout and Ryan Tannehill is so veteran that you didn't feel it immediately.
That's also the Texans.
Good point. Very good point. And they, I mean, as much as we want to say that their defense is good, their defense isn't good like it used to be.
No.
It's like that's history. That's like the token Pro Bowl that you get because you used to go four uh-huh. or five times in a row. It's like, let's put JJ Watt in. Yeah, yeah. I know that name. Let's put him in.
Once more.
Yeah, no, but they're not that team any longer. So that's a great point. The Pittsburgh Steelers, however, their defense is stout all across that front seven. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a challenge for Tennessee, but I suspect they're going to do what they always do. They're going to turn around, they're going to hand the ball, they're going to pass the ball and play action and keep it simple and easy and just out physical you. I think the bigger issue though is the Bush injury for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the reason is because in today's NFL, BT, you know this as well as I do. Anybody who watches the game regularly, if you're not only a banger, meaning you can fill and you can read and react to run games, but more importantly, cover and not mm-hmm. be a liability in coverage when teams try to throw the ball, you are as valuable a player as there is on that second level, that linebacker level, and that's what Bush was for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and now they got to replace him. Now, could they be okay anyways because they're so deep and they're so good everywhere else? Maybe, but that's your quarterback, man. I was talking to Sean O'Hara the other day, and he made a great point. He said the middle linebacker, like that position, is like the offense's running back, or you know what I mean? He mirrors everything. He is – he's not, you know, like the difference maker, like the defensive end or whoever, you know, disrupts a pass, you know, the, you know, a quarterback, but he is like that anchor. And if you have a good one, like a really good one, like the Steelers do, or did until he got hurt, it just makes everybody else's job easy. Just like if you have a good running back, like Derrick Henry on the Tennessee Titans side, it makes everybody else's job easier. And the Steelers are going to miss him a lot.
Unless I'm a little bit too married to the moment here, kind of pushing this thing through, I don't see a more important game in terms of home field playoff consequence than perhaps the Steelers and the Ravens down the road.
Yeah.
Am I missing anything?
No.
I mean,
yeah, that one will be because it's a division game. They have not.
I got to look at the rest of the Chiefs schedule too, but just true, but this is a big one.
But they haven't played yet, right? The Steelers and the Ravens. So I think the Steelers and the Ravens may be because they have to play each other twice. Mm-hmm. But I think you're right. But I think as far as our identification of who is that team that can challenge the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC, this game is the one that you point
absolutely
to, right?
I've got the Steelers going to the Super Bowl. You know that,
of course. But
I got them going.
But think about the Tennessee Titans last year. I mean, they played the Chiefs, you know, well, and you know, and so at some point. You know, they're going to, you know, be hankering to best the champions. And so if the Tennessee Titans keep their momentum going, stay undefeated, beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, clearly the Chiefs will be in their sights, will be within their reach, so to speak, at least in our mind as we conceptualize this. And so, you know, right now, this is the most important game on the schedule. There may be more important ones down the line, especially because you get closer to the postseason and the division becomes more and more important. But right now, this is the game to watch of the weekend.
That's a huge one for CBS. I can't wait for it. Let's hammer this out in 30 seconds here. My position last week, clearly realizing that there's a Russell Wilson and a Mahomes, and that's probably it at this point because Josh Allen's dropped off, as has Aaron Rodgers. I think I'm missing somebody. But anyway, I said that Tannehill had at least entered the very back end of the MVP, of the MVP conversation. You propelled Derrick Henry into the top three, which I don't think is crazy.
Yeah.
Let's say if my guy or your guy has a game this weekend that is off, like Henry goes for 209 with two touchdowns, or 170 and two touchdowns, or Tannehill goes for 360, he runs one and he throws for three. Yeah. Can any of those two? Could either of those two players jump to number one?
Yeah, no, I think
Russell Wilson.
Probably.
Go ahead.
And the reason is because of who they're playing. Because it would be against a viable, like a truly viable, great defense that the Steelers have. They're opportunistic. First of all, they're tough as hell. They're aggressive. They take advantage of your mistakes, as we saw last week against the Browns. So this defense is as good as there is in the National Football League right now. So, yes, if Derrick Henry has his way with the Steelers, then Derrick Henry is only going to further our belief that he's the best runner back in football right now. If Ryan Tannehill, you know, avoids, you know, pressure, because there's going to be pressure. Bud Dupree's going to get there. T.J. Watt's going to get there. Tuitt's going to get there. All right, these guys are going to be on top of Ryan Tannehill in the backfield. Now, if he finds ways to outsmart it, out, you know, athletic it, and make throws down the field anyways, and throws for three touchdowns and 320 yards, as you were just mentioning, BT, our eyes are going to keep popping open with Ryan Tannehill, just like they did last year when he started making all those great plays. And it felt like an anomaly. Like, this can't be the Ryan Tannehill. This is Ryan Tannehill. You got to start believing in Ryan Tannehill, because he's no joke right now.
I agree. I mean, I do believe in him.
Yeah.
I didn't think I'd believe in him to this degree, but
there was no chance you could have told me 2 years ago that Ryan Tannehill would have this resurrection.
Nobody would have saw that. I don't think his wife saw that coming. Honestly, right. I don't think she did.
I believe in you, honey. we've done well already,
you
right?
You did great, honey. You're doing great. Sure, you're doing great. You give him a little the consolatory pat on the sure, honey. We're doing great. All right, let's get the update here. Bob Huesler coming up. Inbounds, out of bounds. After that, and a Group 5 team, as we know, is never, you know, march through the front door into the college playoff. But this year is obviously very different. The circumstances might present that opportunity. Could it happen, and would we want to see it? We'll hammer that out in Inbounds, Out of Bounds after Bob's update, which is right now. Here's Bobby. All right, time to ask the pros here on Tiki and Tierney before we jump into Inbounds, Out of Bounds. And, of course, it's brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Just check out the link and to drop us a tweet. The link is CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. The tweet, at CBS Sports Radio. Stick around, listen later on. Teague and I will answer the best one. And we'll give you some props on the air as we address it. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day. All right, so coming up next hour, Cardinals in Seattle move to Sunday night. And are the Cards ready to fly with the big birds? We'll see. We'll see. Got Solomon Wilcox coming up next hour as well. Next hour, I'm sorry. So that's 4:20, Lowell World Series, 4:40 Eastern, Sharp Tierney, third hour. But right now, Tika, it's time for some inbounds, out of bounds. You ready to rock? See what we got?
Yep, let's hit it.
All right, let's go.
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
All right, here we go. So the Broncos, 2-3, despite playing without starting quarterback Drew Lock for a couple of games. He missed three of them. Now, last week he was back in the Broncos' win over the Pats. It was not really because of Drew Lock, though. It was because of the kicker. Six of them, McManus, he drilled them. Lock was about 40-ish percent throwing the football for 189 yards, no touchdowns, two picks as well. So in two full games this season, he has just one touchdown pass and is averaging just over 200 yards passing and completing a little less than 55% of his passes. So the numbers are not very encouraging at all.
Yuck.
Inbounds, out of bounds. You do believe that Drew Lock can still be an effective long-term starter in the NFL?
I'm going to say inbounds of that. I know that his teammates like him. I know that his coaching staff likes him. He's a good leader for this team, even if his production doesn't show that. And they have the luxury right now of he can get away with it because their defense. I guess, and you know, it kind of just shows you the hypocrisy that exists in the NFL. As long as you can find ways to win, even if it's not of your doing, you're viewed somewhat favorably. If the Denver Broncos were abysmally bad and losing every game and, you know, just not a competitive, we would probably be lumping a lot of this on Drew Lock. But I think he has a little bit of a luxury right now. So I'm going to say, out of bounds.
I'm going to say, so you mean inbounds?
Inbounds, yes.
Okay, that's what I thought you meant. Yeah, I'm going to say yes to that as well. I don't think it's irresponsible to even, you know, recall the early stages of Josh Allen's career where he was around 52-53%. Maybe slightly high. No, he was low 50s. He was not very impressive.
Andrew
was,
Luck, BT, remember?
We do. We talked about that quite a bit. Yep. A lot of downfield shots in that offense and, you know, not many dink and dunks to get that percentage up. I hear you. You're a byproduct of what's around you, who's coaching you. Listen, Drew Rock's got a rocket of an arm. He's got a laser. And he does seem, and we've talked to a few guys on that team, he's got a certain vibe in that locker room that's respected. So you throw in the obvious physical traits, which are there, a leadership and a relatability factor and a respect factor, which is there. You got Cortland Sutton, he's out, been done for the year. They've got some other weapons. I like Fant. I like the Jerry Jeudy selection, even though he's been a little bit dinged up too. Their offensive line's nothing special. I don't think there's a ton around them. Running back, Lindsey's been hurt a few times.
Yeah, he's back now, but you're right.
He just got back. Yeah, you know, I'm not going to give up on Drew Lock. I'm not going to say, hey, I'm going to bet my career on him becoming an All-Pro, but I think it would be a little bit premature and probably irresponsible to say that he's going to fail. So I'm going to say what Tiki said in bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
Okay, so since the college football playoff began back in 2014, no group of five teams been selected in the final four teams, among the final four. This year, however, could be a little bit of a different set of circumstances. That streak could end. Two of those teams, number 9 Cincinnati and number 16 SMU, the Mustangs, face off at a key American Athletic Conference battle. That's tomorrow night in Dallas. Now, the Bearcats are 3-0. They had a nice win over a pretty solid ranked Army team and USF. And also the Mustangs are 5-0. And Shane Buechele who's the quarterback? What's the quarterback?
I will find it, but
I got
it.
Anyway. Yep. Shane's the quarterback, and they're 5-0. So if one of these teams goes undefeated, Teague, this could open the door. I know there's a lot to be determined. The Big Ten's coming back this week. Pac-12, actually Big Ten tonight.
Yep.
Pac-12 after that. So things could change. It's fluid. But this is unique. Do you believe that if one of the teams we just mentioned there goes undefeated, they should get a bid over a one-loss Power 5 team?
I'm going to say inbounds of this, BT, because think about the body of work that the Power 5s have, they will have after this season. It's mostly conference, and so there's not going to be any relative representation to the other conferences, right? So you follow me.
I've got you.
And so if you are not the elite of your conference, winning your championship and, or at least competing for it, I'm going to say that a group of five team that's undefeated and likely won their conference definitely deserves, and they've been ranked high, they deserve to be in the college football playoff. Yeah, so it's a hard one.
It's tough,
right? So I'm gonna say inbounds.
Yeah,
but it's a unique inbounds. Let's put it that way.
As unique as it gets, man.
Yes,
I'm gonna say inbounds too. And you know, you never want to be evasive. Of course, I mean, mm-hmm. That's the segment. Yeah, you've got to give a definitive answer. But there's so many layers of context here that it really does equate to a guess. An educated guess for sure. What would worry me, bother me, it further intrigue me? Let me give you this situation, although my answer is inbounds because of the uniqueness of the season. But let's say SMU wins the game. I don't even know the spread, but let's just say that they win, they're at home, they're 16th rated. And they've been good the last couple of years with offense, so it's not like this. They're out of nowhere. They've been pretty good. Let's say that they win. But then let's say down the road, Cincy, who right now is top 10 and undefeated, loses to a team they have no business losing to. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is Cincinnati inflated right now at number 9? My gut says yeah.
Yeah.
They are inflated. Now, I don't know that SMU is necessarily inflated at number 16. So it's what happens in the other conferences, but also more directly – and of the same consequence, what happens in the American Conference?
Yeah, so that's the problem. It's the problem with the college football playoff this year because the committee doesn't have their usual data and metrics to measure against. Take that for data. But so the problem is, like, we don't know what their thought process is going to be and how they're going to evaluate either a one-loss big Power 5 school versus a undefeated group of five school who hasn't even had a chance to play a Power 5 school. Mm-hmm. So, when I think about it, because of that, like, you're not going to have a chance to play and beat a Power 5 school.
Yeah.
They're probably going to penalize the group of five schools. I'm still going to say inbounds.
Me too.
Yeah.
And by the way, part of my answer is derived from hope.
Yeah.
Because if it happens.
That's a good point.
If it happens. And they acquit themselves well in the national semifinal, and that's also a big leap of faith because you're going to be playing one of the big boys. You can play Clemson and lose 70-20.
Yeah.
But if they have a pretty good effort or even win, then I think that just, you know.
It changes. It changes how we view those schools.
Well, but also maybe 4 goes to 8 quicker than we think. Because now it's, well, if you don't have to be among the top 4 to actually win because you've
good
proven
point.
Further viability.
Good
There's
point.
A lot of layers. We both say inbounds.
Are you in or are you out?
We say, let's move on before we start confusing people what our answer was.
I know.
All right, Teague. Another
I was confusing myself.
So was I. Another undefeated playoff contender, the Oklahoma State Cowboys, face their toughest opponent yet as number 17 Iowa State. The Cyclones make their way into Stillwater. Now, Cowboys head coach Mike Gundy, still the man, no longer 40, but still the man, has been at the helm for a remarkable 16 years. This guy's been there.
It's a long time. Man.
132 wins he's amassed, 64 losses, but winning just one conference title, which came back in 2011, so basically a decade or so ago when OK State finished third in the AP rankings. Now, as we remember, he's had some controversies. Remember, he was wearing the OAN shirt or hat, I don't know what it was, but I think it was a shirt.
I think it was a shirt.
After a fishing expedition, you know, that obviously ruffled some feathers. He's had some issues with his players off of that he had a wreck, and some other stuff, too. That he had to rectify, which he seemingly has. Inbounds, out of bounds. If Gundy doesn't make the college football playoff this year, Oklahoma State should move on from Gundy.
I'm going to say out of bounds to that, BT. There's a lot of mitigating circumstances here. First of all, I think they're going to be in competition. If not, and I think they're going to be in the Big 12 championship and maybe even win it. But that doesn't mean that they're going to make the playoff, because the Big 12 is weak right now. I mean, they're the only undefeated team currently in the Big 12. But the other thing, and I think this explains his tenure, the 16 years, BT, it's his alma mater. Mm-hmm. And so there's a tie, like an emotional tie, because he was a player there. It's probably why he's gotten away with being a little bit quirky over the years. Yeah. Insensitive. Let's call that OAN shirt incident insensitive. And it was Chuba Hubbard, his outstanding running back, that called him out on that. Mm. They actually worked it out. I mean, that part of the story got kind of swallowed.
Well, nobody
a little
cares
bit.
About the good
nobody
part
cared,
of the story,
but they worked
care about
it out.
The controversy.
And Chuba actually said, "That's kind of my bad. I should have handled it differently."
Mm-hmm.
But still, he worked it out. So. Yep. I think he's a good guy, and I think the guys like him. His team likes him. I know the school likes him. He wouldn't be there that long.
Correct.
So I'm going to say out of bounds.
I'm going to say out of bounds as well here, for sure. You know, listen, there's certain jobs that are just tough jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are jobs that are uniquely tough jobs.
Yeah.
And I think that Oklahoma State is a uniquely tough job.
It's a good point you're making.
You know what I'm saying?
It's like, because of Texas and Oklahoma.
For sure. Because of the, yes.
Texas Tech even.
Yes. The circumstances around you, there's expectations, but there's also, you know, at least from our seat, we attach, you know, realism to the situation. Now, if you're a Cowboys fan or a booster, you know, you're thinking that you should swim with the sharks every year. And coming from a more logical place like we're sitting, the answer is no, you should not be. So when you do it as often, I'll put quote, as often as Mike Gundy does it at a uniquely tough job, that person has proven that he just fits a uniquely challenging position. There you go.
Are you in or are you out?
Plus, he went there. All right, yep. Zeke. The Clippers hired Ty Lue as their new head coach, as we know, but there's been rumors swirling around in L.A. about players being unhappy with some of the special treatment Kawhi got last year. We talked about that. And some reports say teammates were frustrated with Paul George during the restart. Now, yesterday, our buddy Shaq Fu, the D's, discussed the Clippers issue on the big podcast with Shaq and made a bold statement.
They're going to have to get rid of somebody.
Ooh, who?
Come on, bro.
Pandemic on, Pete.
They're not getting rid of him. They gave up the farm for him.
They gave up the farm, but we could change some crops on that mother. You got to use him to get two good, solid players. Because I need Kawhi to be the man. I don't want Kawhi to delegate. See, when Kawhi was with Toronto, he knew he was the man. Everybody knew he was the man. Now you got one guy that thinks he's the man and one guy that is the man. They got a guy coming off the bench that knows he's the man. Look, it may look good in a certain game, but when you got to slow the game down and do certain things, that'll never work.
Mm. Very interesting. After the comments, Lou told ESPN that PG3, staying put.
Anytime you have a chance to win a championship, it's pressure. And I think Kawhi and PG are here to stay for a long time. It's just, I think in their situation and where they want to be is here with the Clippers. And we just got to make it a great environment, and we have to win.
All right, so keep in mind as we answer this, Ty Lue has no say as to whether or not Paul George gets traded. But just to, you know, inject that there.
Yeah.
In or out, the Clippers should trade Paul George this offseason?
I'm going to say out of bounds to this, BT. It's only been 1 year, and we know that they had 29, maybe 30 different starting lineups because of how they managed their health throughout the season.
Here come the excuses already.
It is the excuses, but BT, you still, they're two really good players.
Yes.
And so I think you got to run it back one more time. And if it doesn't work out or you have the same issues this year, that's when you make the move. But at that point, I mean, Paul George can opt out. He'll probably see the writing on the wall. But I'm going to say out of bounds. I think you got to give this one more shot.
I'm going to say out of bounds as well. I don't love my answer. I'm not married to it.
Because we don't, neither one of us really, we don't love Paul George.
Don't
like
love him.
Don't love him.
I like him. And listen, not only do I not love Paul George as a player, I definitely don't love him with Kawhi. Mm. So there's like two things. They don't seem to complement. It's not a very harmonious, and I don't even mean off the court. I just mean, is there obvious, palpable harmony on the court between those two guys?
Yeah.
You saw with LeBron and AD right away. Yeah. I mean, you'll probably see with KD and Kyrie because they're boys and they're tight. There's a little disconnect there, but I'm with you. I'm going to run it back one more year, see what happens. All right, coming up next year, we know Seattle's legit. Are the Cardinals ready to fly with the big birds? Get to that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.